And to Jesus be the praise and the honor and the glory for what he is going to show you today and do in your life and through your life because of this teaching. I'm telling you, this is going to be life-changing. I want to show you from the Word how to win battles all the time. I mean all the time. You can't lose. You are a winner. God Almighty has declared you victorious in the glorious name of Jesus. No matter what mountain is facing you, what problem, what challenge, what difficulty, it will not stand. It's going to go. I had a friend of mine years ago, Gene Paulino. He used to always say, you know, you see that invisible fly on your hand? And of course, he was saying that, just imagine one, and he'd do. That's all we have to do, just like that, and it's off. Peter saw victories, Paul saw victories, the apostles saw victories, and so will you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I give you praise for your promises today. We will see victory after victory after victory in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Do you remember Paul the apostle? He shook that snake right off into the fire. It did not harm him. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. You are God's beloved. You are God's child. Nothing will harm you. But now, we have to do what the Bible says. First, do you know, and you all remember Matthew 11:12. It says that the kingdom is taken by force, by the violent. Now, this doesn't mean violent physically. We have to use our faith in a very powerful way to see victories come our way. So, the kingdom is taken by force. Now, in Revelation 21 and verse 8, let's go together. And by the way, thank you for joining me. You're my family and I love it. Okay, verse 8. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But what, you know, this really says is quite simple, that those who have no faith in God, because those who are fearful are the same who are unbelieving. And anyone who's unbelieving is also the rest, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, all that. But people of faith are holy people. People who walk with God are strong in the faith. And to be strong in the faith is what we need to be victorious. Now, God's word clearly states that we are not to report to duty, not to report to duty after the troops have left, after the army is on the march. Because Satan knows who is weak and who will be defeated. Who are they? Those who are way in the back, that are away from the cloud, away from the presence of God, away from where they should be in their walk with the Lord. Do you remember what it says in Deuteronomy? Let's go to it. Deuteronomy 25. I am giving you the key here. The key to victory is to be where God is. To be in the center where God is. Deuteronomy 25, beginning at verse 17, he said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, as you were on the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote what? The hindmost of thee. In other words, those in the back, those in the rear ranks, even all that were feeble in those days, they were feeble physically, but now today, those who are feeble in faith and spiritually are in the back when thou wast faint and weary. So the people that are defeated are those who are always late, always in the back of the crowd, always show up when the army has left for war or for the promised land in this case. So, let's not report for duty when the army has gone. Let's not show up late. Let's be under the cloud of glory. Let's be where the presence of God is. Let's be where the glory of God is. And that's where we win. All right? That's where always we win. So, the cloud that has moved, we have to stay under it. And when we stay under it, then we receive what is promised to us in Luke chapter 9. Now, remember what I've just been telling you. Those that were defeated were in the back of the crowd. They showed up late for duty. Luke 9 verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So there is a curse on Satan. There's a curse on Satan. And that curse is still working against him. And all we have to do is take our authority. Because in Genesis 3, the Bible says that God placed a curse on him that has been on him ever since that day. Genesis 3:14. I just want you to know what's on you and what's on him. On you is God's blessings. On him, God's curse. And the Lord said, verse 14 in Genesis 3, and the Lord said, I love this, unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. This curse was placed on the serpent, but it was placed in reality on the devil himself, because he used the serpent to tempt Eve. And the Lord placed that curse on him. That curse is still working against him and has been ever since that day. So we have got to understand, what is our duty? How do we get victorious and stay victorious? Luke 9:1, I give you power over all the power, not just some, all the power of the enemy. Nothing will hurt you. He gave them power and authority over all devils to cure disease. And so we have this power and authority now. And we have the promise, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We have the promise that we have power over the enemy and none of his power will touch us. But what do we do? Well, here's what we have to do first. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to show you chapter 2, and beginning at verse 4. This is the first requirement. You cannot take the kingdom by force unless you do this. Verse 4, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. No man that warreth, remember this is a war we are in, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Well, you can't be a soldier of Jesus. You can't win this war we're in if you're entangled in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. What is this saying to me? Well, number one, we fight the enemy by pulling away from the world, number one. Not being entangled with the world. But number two, we have to fight him according to the word, to the law of God. That's what it means by verse 5. Lawfully. You can't fight until you fight lawfully. If a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully, except he fights lawfully. We have to have the word of God in our hearts, in our life. That's the weapon of warfare. That's what we fight with. I know you're facing a lot of problems. We all face problems. It's just a part of life. But we win. We win. The only people who lose are the ones who decide to lose. The people who decide to lose are the ones who don't have the weapons, don't know what the weapons are. The Bible makes it very clear. God's word is our weapon of war. God's word is our weapon for war. If we don't know the Bible, how can we fight the enemy? When the Lord was tempted, he used the word against him, and the enemy fled. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But how do we resist him? Peter said, in the faith, with the word of God, we resist the enemy, not with anything else. So you are a winner. Yes, you are a winner. I'm talking to you because you are a winner. And the weapons are available to you. All you have to do is use them. God has given them to you. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, the Lord Jesus said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. We are victorious, and we stay victorious. Now, God's word says, also, we have this most remarkable secret given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm giving you what the Bible says about this. If you want to see victory in your life daily, here's what to do. 1 Corinthians 9, look at verse, let's just begin reading at verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So how do I win? How do I win this war? How do I fight? Not by beating the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Verse 27, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is giving us a fantastic secret, which he mentioned to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. We have got to say no to the flesh. We cannot win if the flesh is in control of our life. So we entangle, we remove ourselves from the world. We are not tangled. We get ourselves entangled out of it. That's number one. Pull away from the world. Number two, now you have authority over your flesh to say no to it. Because as long as people are entangled, there's no power in their life to say no to their flesh. But the second you pull away from the world, stop watching too much TV, or stop watching it altogether, by the way. That's what I've done. Stop looking at magazines. Stop reading books that are not biblical. And stop reading books that call themselves biblical, but they are unbiblical, about things that can really mess you up. A lady gave my wife Suzanne years ago, back in the 80s, a so-called Christian book. And it was about demons and the demonic. My wife was attacked by an enemy, by a demon, at night in bed. And she had read this book that was sold in a Christian bookstore. There's a lot of books that are sold as Christian books that are dangerous to read because they're not biblically based. So when we pull away from the world and we pull away from reading things we shouldn't read anyways or look at, then we receive the power of God and the strength that God gives us to say no to the flesh, to say no to the things of the world. And so Paul says, I keep under my body, and I put that body under subjection, lest after I preach to others. Imagine Paul saying that. I myself should be a castaway. So here is a man who went to the third heaven and yet would write those words, that he himself had to keep what God said to stay victorious. Even Paul the Apostle. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 12. Because these are all keys here to victorious living. He says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So, here's the second thing. The second thing is what you say out of your mouth. The things we say can give us victory or defeat. So he says to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life eternal. And then he says, you've professed, you've spoken a good profession. Keep speaking that good profession before witnesses. So confession, when we speak the word, demons flee. When we speak the word, power is released through our life. When we declare God's promises, things happen. Good things happen. So here Paul is giving us some powerful things. He said, look, Timothy, get away from the world. Don't be entangled. Secondly, he says, you want to win? You want to fight and win? Put your body under subjection. Tell the flesh no. And then he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life eternal, whereunto you're called. Now it's time to keep that good confession, that good profession before people. Let them hear you talk the word. Be a word man and you'll win. But there's something else. And that is in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 14. These are all key scriptures. Key scriptures. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Oh, this is lovely. And look at verse 14 and right through 17. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That word savor means fragrance, the aroma. Okay? For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now watch what he says here. Verse 17 is the key. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. What is he saying? He's saying that we have an aroma, but that aroma that can bless the saints and defeat the enemies is the word. It's the word. Because when he talks about the aroma, he says, thanks be unto God, who is always causing us to triumph. He makes manifest the aroma, the savor of what? His knowledge, his word. Because we are unto God that sweet savor of Jesus, of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that are not saved, that perish. To the one we are the fragrance of death, to the other the fragrance of life. But then it says we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So it's the word of God that causes that aroma to come out of us. So to win victoriously, the word of God must come out of us. To bless the believer who hears us, destroy the works of Satan and unbelievers that don't want to hear us. To one, it's God's light and blessing. To the other, it's judgment and destruction. So what is light to us is darkness to the world. Remember, when the cloud moved through the Red Sea and stood behind the Israelites, it was light to Israel and darkness to the Egyptians. So we win. We are the salt of the earth. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew about that. And I'm going to show you something really, really powerful, because this is what Paul just kind of talked about, the savor that comes out of the word. In Matthew 5, verse 13, the Lord said this, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, fragrance, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men." So, saints are judged by God when they lose their salt. People are destroyed when they lose their salt. Because salt preserves. Salt is a preserver. And as long as the word of God is in us, there is salt in us that preserves us and those that hear us who are in the faith. Those that don't hear us, like Paul said, it's death unto them. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Make sure to write all these scriptures, because each one of them has another side of this victory. Something that God wants to show you. How to live victorious. How to have victories daily in your life. How to win every battle you ever face. For the weapons of our warfare. This is 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 5. But look what verse 6 says. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, that's the enemies, when your obedience is fulfilled. So we defeat Satan, who is in the group of the disobedient, and his people who are disobedient. We win against them when we are obedient unto God. And having in our readiness to revenge, and that word revenge means to punish all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. That's a powerful verse. Dear Lord, that's a powerful verse. So, God Almighty will begin to give you victory after victory after victory when you do what I've just been talking to you about. I'm going to continue tomorrow because there's a lot more. This is just the beginning of my teaching. The beginning of my teaching. I want you to win daily, victoriously, to never know defeat in your life as a Christian. It is your inheritance. It is your right. It is your right to win victoriously. There is great power in your mouth. The enemy cannot defeat you when you speak the word. He cannot read your thoughts. He can only hear your words. And with God's word, we bring destruction to the enemy. I want to just give you one more scripture quickly. I have just a few more minutes here. Okay. Look what it says in Isaiah 59. Let's look, go to Isaiah 59. I was going to give you that tomorrow, but I think I should do it right now. Okay. Let's look at Isaiah 59. This is really powerful, and then I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to start at verse 9. In fact, let me read for you. Verse 21. I'll deal with the rest tomorrow, and there's a lot more. As for me, Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, your grandchildren, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Do you know that when you speak the word, you affect the future of your children and your grandchildren to be victorious? Father, in the name of Jesus, let them win. Let them win the battle they're facing now. Your word declares you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can defeat us. Nothing can overcome us if we do what your word declares. Now, dear Jesus, show them how to win, and show them how to stay winners in the mighty name of Jesus, that all that problems and all the challenges and all the mountains they're facing will be gone in no time, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Join me tomorrow. Tell your friends about this very important teaching that we must listen to and do. And share this with your friends. Now it's time to give to the Lord's work. You know, the Lord has a lot to say about giving to his work. Because every time we give, we honor him. Every time we give, we worship him. Every time we give, we obey his word. So giving is not a natural act. It's a spiritual act, even though it's natural when we do it. But the effects are so powerful because they become spiritual. I've told you already, but I'm going to tell you again. When I give my money, when I go to a store and I give my money to buy something, I'm exchanging it for something I'm buying. When I give it to God, it turns into a spiritual force called seed. And that seed, God takes it in his hands. He blesses the seed. He gives it back to me. It says he gives seed to the sower. God gives seed to the sower. So I put that seed in God's hand. He multiplies it. He blesses it. He gives it back to me, meaning it never leaves my life. When I go to the store, that money is now, it belongs to the man in the store, and he takes it and uses it for whatever, and all I take is what I've just purchased. When I give it to God, God gives it back to me multiplied. And now the harvest starts coming over and over and over again, some 30, some 60, some 100, dependent on my faith when I give. So when I wrap it with faith, strong faith, it comes back at 60 or 100. If I wrap it with weak faith, it comes back at much lower amounts. So we have to increase our faith in giving to see God bring a great harvest. Paul said, if we give sparingly, we'll receive sparingly. So let's begin to give bountifully. Let's increase our giving. Let's intensify our giving, because every time we increase our level, we also increase our faith with it. And now there's more faith wrapped with the seed. And yes, tell the Lord, what is it you want financially when you sow? God wants to hear it from you. He delights to bless you financially. He delights in your prosperity. Give according to the word with faith in your heart. Father, bless them right now as they sow in the name of Jesus, and give them not only the seed but the harvest with it, multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, you can give right there on the platform. You're watching me on to Benny Hinn Ministries. You can go to our website, bnehin.org, or you can simply text BHM 45777. Become a partner with our ministry for 50 a month. If you cannot do 50, you can do 30. And we're going to send you a beautiful instrumental that you can download and be blessed. A million thanks. I'll see you tomorrow as I continue my teaching. Bye-bye.